You are listening to Alternate Reality, episode 398. We're talking about comics.
Wait till you're announced. We've not yet lost all our graces. The hounds will stay in chains. Look upon your greatness and she'll send the call out, 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 send the call out.
Alternate Reality is a podcast about comics, comic-related media, and comic-related merchandise. We do reviews of all sorts, TV, video games, movies, and comic issues. So be warned, the following show material contains spoilers. If you have not read your books, seen the movies, played the games, so forth and so on, then you may want to stop the show until you have done so, or you can proceed at your own caution. You have been warned.
Hello and welcome to Alternate Reality, the comic book podcast. My name is John.
I'm Charlie.
And we're here each and every week to talk to you about all the best things in the world of comic books. We're on live right now on Facebook Live. We're going to try to do this from time, every week probably, to try and build a live audience if we can. We hope we can do that. So somewhere between 8, 9 o'clock or around, it's a little bit before 8 now. We'll hope to go on live on Monday nights. And so if you're not doing anything on Monday night, I know football season's coming up, but most of our fans are not fans of the sports ball, so it shouldn't be a huge conflict. But if you're doing nothing on Monday night, you want to watch us record the show, you don't get any of the fancy effects, you don't get any of the music, you don't get any of the transition sounds and all that stuff that comes with it.
You just get to see John.
You just get us talking, and you get to see me, because Charlie's a big chicken and won't go on the camera, although he doesn't care to go to a convention and let you meet him and see him in person. He's not too hideous for that, but apparently he's too hideous to be on camera in front of the same three or four people that would have seen him at a convention, because we don't have that many followers. So that's just me, just being...
No, you know what they say.
What?
You know, no videotape.
No evidence.
No recording. Deny, deny, deny.
So Charlie wants plausible deniability. You didn't see him? You heard someone that sounded like him, but you didn't see him. You can't prove he was here. So
don't take pictures.
Right.
Don't write anything down.
So it looks like we have somebody in. I don't know who it is, though, so we won't worry about it. But anyway, so if you're not doing anything on Monday night, you want to check us out, then please check over on Facebook on Monday night around 7, 8 o'clock and see if we're live, and we'll try to do that. We have got a bunch of stuff to talk about this week. We've got comic books that came out this past week. We weren't with you last Monday night because of it was Labor Day weekend. And then to top it all off, I put this on Twitter earlier today, but I'll recap. For those of you that don't know, I'm going to Cleveland Clinic to be evaluated for a liver transplant, and we're doing that next week. So obviously no show next week because I'm in Cleveland. It's kind of hard to do that remotely from out of state like that.
Clinics in Cleveland.
Yes. Cleveland Clinic. Yeah, the Cleveland Clinic that's in Cleveland, Ohio.
And
yeah.
They can think of a better name than the Cleveland Clinic.
Well, they want everybody to know where it's at. You know, if they called it, like, the most awesome hospital in the world, you might not know where it was at.
It doesn't sound like a very reputable place for me.
Yeah, most things in Cleveland aren't. You know, it's home of the Browns. What do you mean? What are you going to do? But,
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Charlie's like, there's a lot of cool stuff in Cleveland. You shut up.
Sean Whalen.
Shoot, what is his co-host name? Wow.
Jim.
Sean and Jim. Okay. All right. I'm glad you remembered. I wasn't going to.
It took me a while. I just didn't think of it before I. But yeah, Sean and Jim are there.
Cool. All right. So, anyways.
Birthplace of Superman.
Oh, okay. Not Metropolis. Not Krypton. The place where his creators lived. I got you.
Word. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, I am going to the Cleveland next week to get evaluated for a liver transplant. Cleveland. We hope all that goes well. But obviously, I'm not going to be here to do a show. And then the problem with that is that when I get back, you know, because I'll get back on either late Friday or Saturday. When I get back, I'm really not going to have any time to read anything before the next show Monday night. So, we may be gone 2 weeks before we, you know, talk to you guys again. So, 3 weeks from tonight is maybe the next time we get to record. I really am sorry, guys. I know you guys are looking for more content from Alternate Reality. We're doing the best we can to bring it to you, but life happens and just gets in the way. So
don't hate on my birthday.
No, I'm not. It's probably a fine place. I look forward to in the afternoon.
Parts of it.
I look for, there are parts of it you want to avoid, I'm sure. But I look forward to in the afternoon going out and seeing the sights. Maybe there's an art museum there or something. I don't know. Maybe there's something worth taking in culturally that would be mind expanding and not in the way drugs are, but I'm talking about.
Why would you say so?
I'm talking about broadening your horizons and learning things. So we look forward to doing that. But we've got a big show this week. So let's concentrate right now on this week's show. We had a bunch of comics came out. It was a big week last week for comic books. We got a bunch of stuff to talk about tonight. And then some other interesting things came out over the weekend, Charlie. We got a new Spider-Man video game.
Yeah.
And the new Iron Fist TV show from Netflix came out. And although both of them, I haven't but just started on both of those, I thought we might take just a minute at the end of the show just to touch on those and see what our early impressions were. Not a full review.
Well, you can touch on Iron Fist all you want to. I haven't even seen the first episode.
Do you intend to watch it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll just touch on it without spoiling anything. How about that? And then at some point, we may try to come back and do full-blown reviews of both those things. So a lot to talk about and a lot to go over. Seems like I had something else I wanted to mention. Danged if I can remember what it is. This is why I should take notes. But let's not delay.
You're giving away a Switch.
No, not happening. So without further delay, let's get directly into this week's episode. John and Charlie hosting the very best comic book podcast anywhere on the internet. Sit tight.
My fellow bad guys, I, Lex Luthor, your leader, will speak now about my, Lex Luthor's plan. My villainous, villainous plan. Question the plan at your peril.
Alternate Reality, the comic book podcast. Check us on the internet. arnetcast.podomatic.com is where you can catch us and see what episodes we've put out recently and get caught up and listen to previous episodes. And there are our RSS feed link is there. You can take that link and you can post it into your podcatching service, whether it be iTunes, whether that be some other third-party software, and you can stay up to date on everything that Alden Rowdy puts out when they put it out. So that's a cool thing to do. We would appreciate that if you would do that. The other thing I wanted to mention, I remembered what the other thing was, Charlie.
Okay.
The other thing I wanted to mention was I want to say a big thank you to Kelly Dale, the wife of Jeremy Dale, artist who passed away this past year. She did a Kickstarter where she was putting out the Skyward Omnibus. Now, Skyward was his.
This year, it was a few years ago.
I forget how long. I thought it was last year. It could be. Anyway, I'm not certain. So, Kelly, if you're listening, which I doubt you are, I apologize for not knowing that information. But he passed away, and I was sad to know that because I had been to some conventions that Jeremy Dale was at, and I had gotten some sketches from him. He was a good artist, and I liked his work. He had a creator-owned book called Skyward. And he was publishing that through Action Lab. Our friend over Sean Pryor and those guys over at Action Lab were putting that out. And he only got up to like issue 9 before he untimely passed away. And so she wanted to come back and finish issue 10 with the Kickstarter that she did. And then put that all out as an omnibus to people who wanted to back the project. So I backed it. And I was very happy to say that I got that omnibus in the mail today. I was a little worried about it. It's been a long time since I backed it. I was like, geez, where's this thing at? Not that I suspected any wrongdoing or anything. I was just like, I wonder what's going on. I really like to have that. But it finally came in the mail today. And not only did it come, but I got a bunch of other cool swag with it, bookmarks and thank you cards. I got this t-shirt. So if you're looking live, you can see the t-shirt. It just was really, really cool. And so I want to say a big thank you to Kelly, and our thoughts and prayers are with you as you go forward in life, and hope that everything works out for you, and let you know that we miss your husband very, very much and what he brought to the comic book industry. All right. Are we ready to start talking about comic books?
Yeah, sure.
All right. What did you... What?
Nothing.
And Joe's like, yeah, I guess.
Whatever.
Way to start the show on a real downer.
Whatever.
John. So, the first book I want to talk about this week is James Bond Origin number one. So I've gone through a James Bond kick lately. Okay, so if you're over at my house, you'll notice on the computer, you'll see all my computer backgrounds that rotate every few minutes are like James Bond pictures. And I have been buying and buying digitally and downloading the Daniel Craig, especially those one that said the Daniel Craig James Bond movies. But I also want to go back eventually and get all the Sean Connerys and all the everybody else's too. It's a heavy undertaking. We've had 50 years of James Bond.
22 movies?
Something, a lot of movies. So I don't know how quickly I could get around to getting them all. But I, like I said, I was going through a phase right now, and I'm sure that I'll probably pass through it before I get even maybe a few more movies bought. But I definitely wanted to get the Daniel Craig set because I think
they're all on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
Except for Spectre.
No.
Or maybe they're all on
Hulu. I think Spectre is the one that is on Amazon Prime. The rest are not.
I thought Spectre was on Hulu.
I don't know. But anyway, the point is.
There is no point.
The point is that I've been watching them and I was excited about it. So I posed a question on Twitter the other day. I said, you know, does anybody read the James Bond comic that comes out from Dynamite? You know, does anybody? And I got no responses on that, so apparently nobody does. And I saw there's a new book out this week called James Bond Origin.
Well, I think what it is, they've had a bunch of like miniseries,
mm-hmm.
but they were all like written by different people.
Right. So these are not adaptations, I don't think, of Ian Fleming's works or anything like that. These are just other tales.
Yeah, because they have stupid names like Verger.
Verger.
Yeah. That's V-R-G-R.
So I was interested to check this out and see what this was about and to get an idea of James Bond's origin. Well, according to this, James Bond origin, he's a kid in school. He's probably a teenager, so he's probably 15, 16, 17 years old in that range. But it's during World War II, during the bombings and all that stuff. And I'm like, okay, so is the James Bond of the comic book series set in like the 50s or 60s?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not a modern day take on James Bond. So the adult.
Oh, the comic books are.
Yeah, so then why is this origin take place during World War II? Is this an out of continuity? Are the other books in any kind of continuity? Do they relate to one another at all? We don't know. That, and I don't know either. So what I'm forced to deal with in this book is this idea of what if James Bond was a teenager during World War II, and what if he came up during these bombing raids and stuff like that? How would he deal with it? Well, James, what we find out in this book is that James is a very adept young lad. You know, he's at school, but he's already like a martial arts protege. He's teaching other kids in his class. He's like the team leader for his kids, for his schoolmates. The instructors are military men. So I don't know if he's at a military school. He may be. And they're coming around. They're inspecting. Good job, James, and whatnot. But they're kind of giving James a hard time because he's always kind of running late for his classes and stuff. He tends to get caught up in what he's doing and be late to the next class. He's a guy that stands up for other kids. Some kids get picked on and he'll take up their part, and he don't like bullies. But he easily like trounces the other boys in the school that want to stand up to him because, like I said, he is a martial arts instructor and whatnot. When he sort of uncovers like a secret plot in this book, one of his professors is visited by a friend, and then, you know, a sudden unexpected visit, right? And then when he goes back to see that professor again later, he finds these two men and they're working him over. And he's like, what's going on here? So he tries to jump in, and I guess he's a little overconfident because he's had so much success in his fighting classes and stuff. He thinks he can take these two guys. But these two guys roughly just, you know, have their way with him. He's no match for them. And he gets beat down, and he goes over to the professor, and the professor basically is dying. And what it turns out to be is that he was working on some kind of secret project for the British government, and these other guys are Nazis. And they found him, and they want to steal his research. And so, in the middle of trying to figure out what to do, James jumps on a scooter, and he runs to try and track these guys down. He's following their truck that they're driving in. He follows them till way late in the night, and they start shooting at him from the vehicle. They blow one of his tires out, he wrecks, and he lays there till morning. So I was like, James Bond's not a super spy at this point. He's not particularly good at this. He's a decent martial artist, but other than that, that's all he's got going on. He wakes up in the morning and he's miles out of town, and so he's got to get back. By the time he gets back, it's late that night, and the Nazis have come in for a raid. So I guess now that they have the plans that they wanted, they feel like the best thing to do is to wipe out this village. And so the Nazis are getting ready to do this. Well, the commandeers and everything that run the school are all running around trying to round the kids up and stuff, and James is doing his best to help. There are people trapped in buildings. He's trying to help them. He's a very heroic young lad, but again, not particularly adept, as we know James Bond to be later in life. And that kind of, in the midst of this bombing, is kind of where the story comes to an abrupt halt to be continued. And I was left at the end of it going, this didn't much feel like James Bond. This felt like, you remember that cartoon that came on called James Bond Jr.?
Yeah.
This guy is not even as good as James Bond Jr. was. And so, yeah, he's not a spy. He's got no government training at this point. He just has had some martial arts classes, but he stumbles into trouble. And so
really, James Bond Jr. was kind of a idiot, I guess you'd right. say. That's basically all.
I don't remember a whole lot about that cartoon. I just knew it existed.
I do. I love that show.
But
he had the tech geek friend with the blonde hair.
Right.
Blonde spiky hair.
So
looked like Naruto.
So what I was looking for was a modern James Bond, similar to our Daniel Craig, with high adventure action spy thriller stuff. And what I got was Young Adventures of Indiana Jones James Bond. Which is okay, it's an interesting story, and I'll probably finish it to see where it goes. But it's not what I was looking for. I hope that Dynamite continues to put out a regular book that is more in the line of what I'm looking for. And I'm interested to find out how this book relates to another book they do, if that other James Bond book is in current timeline. If it's, you know, if it's 2018, then how can this be the same character? Or is it not? Is this just a one-off what-if kind of tale? I don't know. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. That was it for that. Charlie, you want to talk about Dr. Aphra, annual number two?
Okay. Starts out, there's these two people on this planet, right?
Uh-huh.
And they get a hologram phone call. It's from Dr. Aphra.
Right.
And these two characters, they're married.
Mm-hmm.
And it's some dude who's got like a kind of a robotic suit. Normal looking dude, beard, whatever.
Is it robotic beard or is it?
No, it's a regular beard.
Okay, it's just.
And a Trandoshan, like the boss character.
Ah, yeah.
And they're married.
Okay.
Which is really weird because like looking in the book, it's like she looks like the reptile character. And like I said, he just looks like a dude with a big robot.
Mm-hmm.
And they're married and they're having this argument. Like he's like, oh, come on, honey. You never say that I do things right or whatever.
Right.
And she's like, yeah, you're correct. I never do say things. You're right. They're just having a typical husband-wife argument, right? Like, they've been married a long time. And she goes, one of the biggest mistakes you ever did was you bought this robot and you gave it, like, a pickpocketing, program.
Right.
And she goes, you don't know how weird that is when we're doing intimate things and it tries to like use its pickpocketing power while we're in the rough or whatever. But Dr. Aphra calls them and She's what they are is they're big game alien animal hunters,
right?
And the thing is, though, they don't kill their prey. And Dr. Aphrodite specifically goes, "Yeah, my boss wants whatever you got." And like for specifics, like she talks about like how, because they ask like, "What kind of animal you want?" And she goes, "Well, like I want the biggest and meanest." And they show like some woman, like some gangster, like has a spaceship that's like an alien monster. The Hutt's Rancor is kind of cute,
right?
And she goes, "Well, I want this specific monster, and you have to take it alive. There's no, I don't want it dead. My boss doesn't want it dead."
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, "Well, who is your boss?" And she's like, "Well, that really doesn't matter. And all I'm saying is, if you harm an inch on this creature, he'll have your head, because that's how badly he wants one." And they were like, "Well, why'd you pick us? Because like, out of everyone, like you'd like, we're like the most amateur people, I guess."
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, "Well, all the other people that I called either didn't want to do it, or they're kind of like not fit for the job or whatever." And she's having this like running dialogue, because like at some point she's talking to him and she's like, "Hey, you two, duck," like that. And they're like, "What are you talking about?" And like one of their, like another big game alien animal hunters guy is like attacking them, and they have a big fight. And it's just her the whole time talking to him through holographic, like you can only see her head, like it's only her right. head from a little ball. And like they see the creature that Aphra wants, and they go to attack it, and the one guy's like the more human of the couple, he's like, "Well, I could use my blaster and we can make short work of this." She's like, "No, you can't do that, because it's got some sort of force field on it. And if you shoot the force field, it'll absorb it and shoot it right back at you. It's got an absorption field on it." And they're like, "Well, we really don't understand how to do it." So the wife, she's like, "Well, I've got like this lance," and she tries to use that. And she's like, "Well, it might like cut it or something, but it won't leave a permanent mark."
Right.
And they're like, "Well, that's fine," or whatever. Well, they're attacking the creature, and they get to the point to where like they figure out with the absorption field they can do something to really like hurt it, mm-hmm. without killing it. And some guy comes in, he's another guy, and they're finding like a bunch of other like alien big game hunters dead in its nest.
Right.
So they're like, "Seriously, like did you all like get others before us?" And she's like, "Yes, but they don't matter anymore," or whatever. And it turns out, well, within they knock the creature out, and all of a sudden from inside the creature you hear like these laser sounds coming through it, and it's like pew 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 pew, like that.
Right.
It turns out that like Dr. Aphra was like searching in this tomb for something, and the creature ate her. So she had to like call for a bounty hunter to kill it, mm-hmm. but wouldn't do any permanent damage because she was inside the things.
Oh.
So at the end of the book, she's like, "Well, thanks you guys. See you later. You don't get any money," because there really was never any money to be had. And the female Transosian, she's like, "Is it wrong that I want to spend the rest of my life on revenge?" And her husband's like, "Nope, not wrong at all." So it's pretty funny. Like, I thought it was like great, because like you don't see Dr. Aphra for the whole thing except for her head. And you're like, "Well, why is she really on this?" And like her boss is like, I still think it's her android, the BT character.
Right.
the murderous C-3PO.
Right.
Really weird. But, yeah, it was a fun issue.
They're called murder bots or something like that. So, excellent. All right, that brings us to my favorite book of the week, which is The Immortal Hulk, number 5. And when we first started looking at this book, I said, I think they're trying to set this book up as a horror book.
Yeah.
I think they're trying to set this up as a supernatural element to it, like the Hulk can see ghosts and things like that. And maybe Banner's back from the dead, but maybe something's possessing Banner. Maybe it's not just him, or maybe it's just his body and something else is motivating him and controlling the Hulk. And we didn't really know where it was going. Well, it spent, you know, 2 or 3 issues going in that direction, and it didn't seem like that was the case. It just seemed like that Banner was back from the dead because the Hulk, his alter ego, refuses to die.
Yeah.
Which is basically, we talked about that same reason that, you know, that Banner says in the Avengers movie, well, I tried putting a bullet in my mouth and the other guy spit it out. He refuses to die. The same reason why in Hulk the End, that famous comic book, it shows Banner jumping off a cliff to commit suicide, and before he lands, he's the Hulk. The Hulk just refuses to die.
Or where, like, the insects eat him, and mm-hmm. he just regenerates from
bones. Right, right. So if the Hulk refuses to die, that basically makes the Hulk immortal.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting concept, because the thing I said is, well, did the Hulk come back and Banner not? Well, it appeared that for the first 2-3 issues that none of my suspicions were true. It's just Banner and the Hulk, and he's trying to figure out how to tell everybody he's back and this and that and different things. But then they started getting into a little more of a supernatural element this time. They started looking. So in the previous issue, you remember the character called Sasquatch. He was on Alpha Flight, right?
Yeah.
All right. So this reporter is trying to track down Bruce Banner. Now, the reporter is a lady, oddly enough.
A lady.
But the lady's last name is McGee, oddly enough.
Oddly.
Yeah. Mr. McGee, don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. So they take the name from the TV show, but she's looking for him. And in order to find him, she tries to bring in an expert, somebody that knows something about him. She brings in Walter Langowski. Walter Langowski was the Sasquatch character from Alpha Flight. And the reason Walter knows him so well, and she figured maybe able to track him down, is because Walter is, too, a gamma-radiated monster. Okay. He basically tried to recreate the Hulk experiment and he ended up turning into Sasquatch instead of Hulk. And so he tried to put those efforts to good use over the years on a team called Alpha Flight. And he's been a hero for the most part. But when he found out that Hulk was back, he was very eager to come down and meet this woman and try to help find him. Well, so what happens is that he ends up turning into Sasquatch and going to a hospital and like destroying the place, like running it, I mean, just completely running people out of there and pulverizing and terrorizing people. And it's like he's lost control of himself. And Banner shows up and talks to this reporter chick just briefly. And she goes, well, he's in there. She goes, but you don't want to go in there. Something's going on. Okay. So Banner goes in there only to find the Sasquatch character like feasting on the bodies of people he's killed in the hospital. I'm like, well, this Sasquatch is a hero. Something weird is going on here. All right. Now, there's an interesting visual thing that they're doing in this book. And the interesting visual thing is, like, every time that Banner looks in a mirror, he can see the Hulk looking back at him instead of his own reflection. And I thought that was just, like, the comic book trying to tell you that Banner's constantly reminded of who he is, but he's not actually seeing that.
Yeah.
No, apparently he's actually seeing that. Because one of the things that this Hulk got, one of his powers that we never knew about, is that Banner can see the real you. And so, or the Hulk can see the real you. And so when Banner looks in the mirror, he sees the Hulk, because at the end of the day, that's who he really is. And, but it's like, it only works, apparently, this is weird, looking into reflective surfaces. All right. So when he goes into this hospital room and the Sasquatch is in there eating these people, he's like, you can't do that. You can't be here. Well, Sasquatch like immediately just slashes across your throat and like, you know, completely rips out his jugular vein and stuff like that. As he starts to lay there and bleed out, he quickly turns into the Hulk, heals, gets back up, and now the fight's on. And so he starts talking to him, and he goes, I knew you'd come for me. You can sense me. You can sense gamma radiation, can't you? And Hulk's like, yeah, I knew exactly where to find you. I could see you a mile away. And he goes, but you didn't know what else came with me. And so the Hulk looks over in this, like, reflective surface, and what he sees is not Walter Langowski's reflection that the Sasquatch is putting off. It's his dad. All right, so what's happened is that his dad, his spirit, has possessed Sasquatch. And he's come back to Bruce now to get revenge. And so, because his dad wants the Hulk's power, he wants it for himself. So this fight drags on and drags on, and the Hulk talks about the green door. And that he, and about how his dad has come back through the, I can't believe you came back through the green door. The green door for the Hulk must symbolize the doorway to the afterlife. And so he came back through the green door. All right, and so that means that it's a two-way street, and that may be how Banner comes back and forth after he's been killed or something. And so now his dad has come back, he's possessed the Sasquatch, and he's terrorizing people because he wanted to draw the Hulk out and have this confrontation with him. And the, and he keeps telling Sasquatch, you know what you've got to do, but you're not man enough to do it. There's only one way to stop me. I'm your equal on every level, which I don't find to be true. But he says, but you don't have what it takes to do it. Well, the Hulk finally grabs him and just gets a hold of him and starts absorbing, because the Hulk can do this, all the gamma radiation out of him. Just figures if I suck his energy out of him, he has to turn back into human form and it'll be over. And so it basically does this. And so Walter Langowski's laying there on the floor. Walter Langowski doesn't know what's happened. He's basically unconscious and he doesn't remember any of it. And that woman, that reporter, comes up to Banner and she's like, I finally tracked you down. You're not getting out of here without me confronting you. And Hulk's like, what do you want? And she goes, you were in a fight with a villain or something when I was a kid. You destroyed my home and my parents, and I'm the only one that's alive, left alive, and it's all your fault. And Banner was like, basically just going, well, I hate that. There's nothing I can do about it, and walks off. I mean, he literally just blows her off. He doesn't care. And when Walter wakes up, she goes, are you okay? And he goes, oh, my God, it's gone. She goes, what? He goes, the Sasquatch. The Sasquatch is gone. I can't feel him anymore. I can't turn into him even if I wanted to. And as the Hulk walks by a reflective surface, he looks over and sees his dad from his reflection in the window. So basically what his dad has done is when he convinced the Hulk to siphon him out of Sasquatch, he siphoned his dad's spirit out of him too. So he's packing his dad's spirit around with him now. And so now we do have the supernatural element that we were thinking about earlier in this, how his dad's come back and he may take possession of him the way somebody gets possessed by, you know, a ghost or a demon or whatever to do evil. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes. This actually was a lot of fun. The way I recapped it kind of makes it sound bland, but the wording, the dialogue, the action in the book, it's really well done. And it's really, you know, the Hulk, you tend to think of these big action battles with the army and big epic fights. And this is all so very much more low key, ground level. And you're not used to seeing that out of the Hulk. And so I like that a lot. I enjoy the book a bunch. All right, Charlie, your next book, Bully Wars, number one.
This book's about these three kids, Edith, Spencer, and Ernie. And they're waiting for their school bus one day. And they're like, well, it's a new day in a new high school.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, I wonder what's going on, what's going to happen this year. And they're like, well, it's probably going to be the best year we ever had. But he goes, but the young, the blonde-haired kid, Ernie, he's like, I'm not too sure because, you know, what's his name might come around. And they're like, well, we can't deal with that. You know, we're going to do a new high school. It'll be all different and everything. Well, then comes this kid come in. His name is Rufus.
Rufus!
And it's Rufus. His last name is Roughhouse, which I've
Rufus Roughhouse.
Yeah. And he's their bully.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who they were dreading this whole time. They were like, oh, God, we'll have to deal with him or whatever. So, like, Rufus, like, blows, like, a bubble gum and, like, puts it all over the and hits Ernie, and He's all covered in bubble gum.
Mm-hmm.
So that he's like, this is going to be the best year of our my life. He's like, we'll go to new high school, and I'll be able to, like, terrorize all the new kids there, whatnot. And the kid Ernie, he's like, well, I was hoping you'd give us the first day of school off, maybe ease into things before we get the full bullying. He goes, that's an interesting idea. Let me think it over. He goes, you know what? I think you're out of your mind, and, like, smacks his books away. It's kind of funny because, like, sometimes the way they draw him, he's got, like, snake eyes. And then other times he's got these, like, little baby doll full eyes. And
yeah,
it's kind of funny. But they get to work, and they get to school, and he's like, ah, I love the smell of fresh weeds in the morning. Well, the thing is, he starts bullying kids, and these other kids come around, and they're like, well, you can't do that around here. And he's like, why not? And this one kid comes in, and, like, as big as he was to, like, the other kids,
mm-hmm.
this guy's, like, three times his size. His name's Hawk. And Hawk's like, he's like, you don't know it, but I'm the bully of this school.
I'm the bully of the bullies.
And yeah, he goes, even I've won the bully wars 3 years in a row. And Rufus is like, what bully wars? What are you talking about? And he's like, oh, you'll find out. So, like, the next scene that's, like, they're in, like, basketball or whatever in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
And these kids throw Rufus into a locker. It's funny because Ernie, Spencer, and the girl come through, and they're like, should we help him out? And he's like, are you kidding? He never helped us out. And Rufus is like, hey, can I get a little help here? Well, the next week or so, like, you just see Rufus getting, like, repeatedly bullied by Hawk and his gang. Well, he goes into the bathroom near the end of the book, and he's like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do because I thought I'd be ruling this school by now. And something comes out of the bathroom.
Right.
And it's a tentacle. And you're like, what's going on? What is it or whatever? Well, it turns out it's the school mascot. And he's like, well, you know what? I'm going to help you to win these bully wars. And he goes, and, like, Rufus is like, well, who are you? And it turns out it's Ernie. So he's going to, like, help him become a better bully or something like that.
How to be a better bully, chapter one.
But the art in it was pretty good. It was kind of funny. So
excellent. All right, that brings me to my last book tonight, and that is The Dreaming Number One. This coming from Sandman Universe. I said I wasn't going to pick up any of these books. I apparently lied because this came out this past week, and I was like, oh, there's that book. I guess I could try it. So I'm not going to go full bore into recapping this because a lot of this we've already been over. A lot of this was covered in Sandman Universe number one. And I guess the reason they kind of recap a bunch of this is because you may not have read that issue. Sorry to say episode. You may not have read that issue. And if you didn't read that issue, you kind of needed some recap. So, but basically the recap is that, you know, Daniel is gone. The dream, the master of the dream world. And the dreaming, the universe they inhabit, where everybody's dreams take place, is falling apart. And there's big fissures in the sky, the ground's cracking apart. And a more recent development that happened just in this issue was that these mindless automatons start coming up out of the cracks in the ground. The blanks. And so if you can imagine what they look like, if you can imagine, like, the gray aliens, but without a big head, just a normal-sized human head, with no mouth or anything, no facial features, just eyeballs.
Well, they're kind of like mannequins.
Yeah, kind of.
With just eyes.
But they're really, they're not gray like those aliens. They're more like just a pale off-white.
But that's what I'm saying. They're like They're like store mannequins.
Basically, right. And so they just, but they don't, they're almost like mindless. Like they're just kind of standing around not doing anything. And they don't know what they're going to do with them. They kind of got them rounded up in a big corral, but they don't know what the deal is with them. And they still can't figure out what they're going to do.
It's kind of funny because Dora or whatever her name is, she's like, well, if you had a Willy, you'd be the perfect man almost.
Yeah. So Dora, we get back to her. She was introduced in the Sandman issue. And she is kind of a rule breaker. She bucks authority. She does what she wants to. And she somehow or another managed to round one of these automatons up, one of these mannequin guys.
Well, she's in the dreaming, but they don't really say why she's there.
Or I don't think she's from there. I think she's just sort of landed here. And
I think Daniel put her there for some reason.
Yeah.
Because they have
a confrontation later on.
Later on in the book. But, she's different from the other,
characters that are
there because, she sleeps, but she doesn't dream at all.
Right.
So I guess that's why she goes from other dreams.
So she can enter people's dreams and exit people's dreams. She can also jump from this realm to other realms seamlessly, like no trouble. Just open a passageway and go.
Yeah.
And so she is absconded with one of these mannequin guys, one of these automatons. She calls him Ziggy. And she said, you don't ever say anything. You just do what you're told. If you had male tackle, you would be the perfect man. And
what was it? She say fishing tackle,
wedding tackle.
Yeah,
I guess that's a British term. Yeah. And so, you don't really know what she's up to. Everybody else is trying desperately to deal with this problem. The librarian guy that's been left in charge, he's just sort of sitting around moping that things are in bad shape and there's nothing that they can do at this point. So she goes on an adventure where she starts jumping into other people's dreams. And while she's there, she uses the mannequin guy to distract whoever's having the dream while she takes something from the dream. She's stealing from people's dreams. And when she has her bag full of stuff that she's taken, she is getting ready to leave. The crow shows up. The raven shows up and to confront her and says, wait a minute. You can't be walking around with that, mindless creature. And she said, I'm leaving here anyway. And I'm paraphrasing and cutting a lot of things out because it's not important. And she opens up a portal and she leaves. Where she goes is rather interesting as she goes into the nether realm to meet up with a lord of hell. And she's like, you think she's in trouble now because this guy's going to tear her to pieces.
What is 40 feet tall and riding a
bear.
Demonic bear.
Yeah. And the next thing you see, he's laying on his back and she's astride him and they're getting it on. I was like, oh my God. And so basically. Yeah,
because he starts like in the throes of passion, he states his
position and his rank is of, I am Balaam, powerful Duke of Hell. Mine is the dominion of curses and cunning. 40 legions of devils do I govern. This is my seal. And that's, it's over. And she goes, that's the weirdest orgasm I ever saw. And so they basically are done now. And she's like, well, now on to business. And so she's got all these things that she's absconded from people's dreams. And she gives them to him as payment for something that he gives to her. And as near as I can tell, this is some kind of supernatural fruit from some tree or something. Because apparently the food that she finds in the dreaming is not any good to her or doesn't sustain her or something. And so he said that.
Well, they're glimmers of things they've lost.
Right. It's some kind of. A fruit from the groves of Tartarus, watered by the lake called Caragol. Therein stands Tantalus the Phygian, who butchered his son for meat for the gods. Every day he reaches a hand, groaning in starvation, to pluck a morsel, and every day the boughs themselves shrink from his grasp. Eat it slowly, Dora, for there is no sweeter taste in all of it. And she's already scarfed it down. And he goes, you're disgusting. We should have more sex. She said, some other time, and she's got to go, right? She as she starts to walk back through the portal back into the dream, the demon guy goes, oh, you dropped this, and he starts to bend down. And when he bends down, he realizes, Oh, I'm halfway through the portal.
Well, she says, you can't come through here, remember? You'd
be
torn apart or whatever.
Right. And so when he realizes that he can, pass through, then he's like, and now he's on a rampage. Now all these supernatural creatures in the dreaming are trying to defend their home from this rampaging demon, and everybody's scrambling, oh, crap, what are we going to do? You know, Daniel, the dream's not here to defend us. This guy's going to tear us all asunder. So the librarian guy, and I can't even remember his name.
Lucien
puts on Daniel's outfit and goes out there and goes, you seem to have left the legions at home. You've entered my territory, blah, blah, blah. I'm paraphrasing. And he goes, now you have to go. And and the demon guy just kind of goes, oh, sorry. Because he totally buys it.
He turns from like his big dragon like state that he's in, or like his big demon form.
Right.
And then, like, when supposedly Daniel comes in, he shrinks down. He looks like he's a little impish goat.
Yeah.
he goes, I'm sorry.
I thought you were gone. I'll go now, sir. And he leaves. And then she, who's thinking this is Daniel, Dora does, she has the confrontation with him that we talked about. And said that you made sure that I understand that I was broken. You made sure I was grateful for being rescued, and then you forgot me. Your sanctuary is just the box of a spoiled brat. And he goes, but, and then that pumpkin guy goes, boss, great to have you back. So nobody knows it's Lucien.
Well, Merv is kind of like, he's like a janitor guy, mm-hmm. which is kind of funny because, like, that's basically how they treat him. Like, he's he's the Frog Prince guy from the Fables book.
Right. I was going to say Groundkeeper Willie from The Simpsons almost. But
I think Groundkeeper Willie gets more. Well, the thing is, he's just a pumpkin head. So he just, like, he's really like Bob and Carl.
Mm-hmm.
Except he doesn't comment on things that are going on. He just does his job.
Right.
It's like the Swamp of Sadness.
Yeah.
But like, he's bobbing. He's Carl in that. Yeah.
Yeah. So
or he's just doing his job.
So he's like, boss, great to have you back. Come here. We need your help for a second. He says, you see all these mindless automaton mannequin looking figures standing here? Yeah. What do you want us to do with that? Do we need to kill them? I mean, it's not like they even have any sentient thoughts. They're not real or anything. And about that time, one of them looks over and goes, and suddenly he has a mouth where he didn't before. And he goes, sanctuary. And so Lucien says, give them tasks, teach them, Marv, teach them and learn from them and care for them. And Marv, you just see the look on his face like, ah, crap. Now these things are under my jurisdiction. I got to deal with them. And so they go back and he's thankful that he's pulled it off. And but he still at this point has lost all hope that this situation can be fixed. It's an interesting book. The Dora figure is probably the most interesting character in the book at this point, but she is such a, you know, hateful character that it's hard to like her. It's interesting to see kind of where it goes at this point. I don't know how long I'll stay on this.
But to me, she's kind of like the punk rock girl or whatever. Mm-hmm. She does like whatever she wants. And the way it sounds like is Daniel may have like kidnapped her.
Right.
Or took her when she was really young.
Or rescued her from something, you know.
Or left her in the dreaming.
Right.
Because that's kind of what the conversation seems like they were having. Would it be interesting? Like I said, I like Merv, so.
It's an interesting cast of characters. I like Cain and Abel. I like several of the characters in the book. I'm just not sure that I care about what's going on. So we'll see what happens. All right, Charlie, Deathstroke number 35.
Deathstroke 35 is the last part of the Deathstroke versus Batman.
This thing's been going on for like 3 or 4 months.
Well, it's like six, but
it's a long time.
It's a six part series within a series.
Right.
Because everyone, like when they promoted it, it was like, what? Deathstroke versus Batman? They're making that a series, but we didn't know it was in the Deathstroke book.
Right.
Because that's not how they promoted it. But anyway. The main brunt of the storyline is that Deathstroke has been saying that Damian's my son.
Right. Yeah, that boy's my boy.
And he's been trying to prove it for the whole, like, last time. Well, in this, him and Batman just, like, completely have, like, totaled each other. They're just, like, completely, like, tired and not wanting to deal with each other, whatever. Well, the main brunt of the storyline is Batman had, like, had a paternity test taken.
Right.
But at the end of it, at the end of the book, he's like, well, I don't really care if Damian is my son or not. He's my son. And burns it without looking at it.
Oh, see, I'd have had to have looked.
And it turns out that the paper says that Damian is indeed his son. So
why is Deathstroke doing this? Does he have bad information, or is he just trying to mess with Batman?
Probably. Because
so we don't know?
He thinks that Bruce and Batman are two separate people. He doesn't know that they're the same person.
Okay.
And I think he's been trying to dig up, like...
So is his assertion that Damian Wayne is his son, or that Robin is his son?
Damian Wayne.
Okay, so he's... So...
I think he's trying to... Like, understand why him and Bruce are working together.
Uh-huh.
He goes, look, I know your cave is under his mansion. But, like, he goes through this whole thing and, like...
How could you get that far and not know that he is Batman?
Well, in reality, like, they said it earlier that in one of the earlier issues is that there are seven people in the world named Bruce Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, you either own the mansion and all these identities are just something you threw out in the world to throw everybody off.
Mm-hmm.
Because you just don't want no one to find you. And like he talks about like having like an internet or something like that, like satellite technology that like is all around like his building, except for like right there at the mansion or whatever.
Right.
So he's like, there's something going on with you. And he's like, I'll find out one of these days. But like I said, I think he thinks that Bruce Wayne, that all the Bruce Waynes that in the world mm-hmm. like work for him.
Right.
And he's just trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
It's a little weird, but it was kind of a cool story to see them two beat each other and like.
So who's the
having to work to work with each other?
Who's the better fighter at the end of the day?
Well, like I said, they basically beat each other to a draw.
Yeah, so that there was no clear winner.
No.
Okay.
Which is kind of weird because it is a Deathstroke book.
So they can't have Deathstroke upstaged in Deathstroke's own book, is that what you're saying?
Okay. So I guess they just consider.
Because we all know at the end of the day, Batman wins. He always wins. All right.
Batman does what it takes.
He plans ahead. He brings the kryptonite, whatever he needs to do. All right. So that's it for this week's comic books. We're going to take a break. We'll be back to close the show out and have a few more things for you in just a moment. All Neurality, the comic book podcast.
I'll chase him round the moons of Nibia and round the Antares maelstrom and round perdition's flames before I give him up.
Alternate Reality, the comic book podcast. All right, we're back to close the show out now. But real quick, before we do that, we want to touch base with you on a couple things that have come out over the weekend that we thought we wanted to just touch on. Not a full review, just sort of first impressions. Charlie, you and I both have had an opportunity to play the new Spider-Man PS4 game.
Yeah.
What's your initial impressions of that?
It's a Spider-Man game.
It is a Spider-Man game. Yes, I agree wholeheartedly. How do you like it?
What I'm saying is it's not that much different from any other Spider-Man game.
I haven't played that
I've ever played.
I haven't played a lot of Spider-Man games, so I don't know.
I mean, it's a little better than like the Shattered Dimensions game because that was more of a level based game, and the what was the other one? The one with him and Spider-Man 2099, just those two.
Yeah, I don't.
Because that was more of a level design based one, too. But like most of the other Spider-Man games have all been open world New York.
So,
I mean, this one is a lot more polished because it's on the PlayStation 4.
Right.
But I mean,
so
and they do a lot cooler stuff. Like you can, like when you're like zipping through the city, like when you see a grate like on top of a building, you can like dive through the grate, and that's pretty cool. Or with those big pipes that are like being raised by cranes, you can go through them. And
oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you just got to hit the double tap thing, and he just shoots like right through the thing and just goes like that.
That's interesting.
Okay. Or like he, or like if he hits like the fire escape ladder thing, he can go through those real easily when he's swinging. Like I said, it's graphically, it's way, way better because it's on the PlayStation 4.
Right.
But it's almost the same. I mean, I'm a little upset because I think it's going to be a short game.
15 hours, somebody said, all through, if you just content.
But that seems kind of silly.
Yeah, but that, if you spend hours and hours exploring the city and doing all the little side stuff, probably.
Which you can, like, if you wanted to, you could theoretically go through and, like, see, like, your favorite places in New York for the most part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are some things that are way different.
Well, yeah, like if they've got Avengers Tower, that's not actually in New York.
Yeah, or Empire State University isn't.
Right.
In the
world. So they've changed the city a little bit to correspond to Marvel story stuff.
Doctor Strange's Sanctum Sanctorum is not there. But apparently they couldn't get like some licensing fee, like for like the bull
that's that's outside the New York Stock
Exchange. Yeah, so they had to make it Lockjaw. the Ghostbusters Ladder 37 company, it's there.
Right.
Which is kind of cool because you can take pictures. Photo mode is probably like the best part of the game because like they've added filters and everything. And like I said, it's on the PS4, so like it's almost realistic for a lot of it.
Right.
You can change outfits and do, but like the outfits aren't like, hey, beat this game on the hardest level to get outfit A. You could just make them throughout the game.
Right. So they're not rewards for beating the game. They're just given to you at different points. Yeah, that's cool. I like a lot of, the suit options are one of my favorite parts of the game. Because I have, since I was playing it, have worn like every suit that I could. If not just for a little while, and then I'll switch back to something else. I really liked the Scarlet Spider suit, the Ben Reilly suit. I thought it was fun to
play. Which one? There's like two.
Well, I'm talking about the standard one, the red outfit with the blue hoodie thing. I really like the traditional costume. I mean, I keep going back to it. It's traditional Spider-Man. It's what Spider-Man's supposed to look like. But the new costume that they've created exclusively for this game, with the big white spider, it's a cool-looking costume.
That's the one I've basically used the whole entire time.
Because, and I think the reason it pops and looks good on it is because they designed it to look good in this game. The way the light hits it and everything, it really pops and really looks good.
Yeah, the Iron Spider from Infinity War's in it.
Yeah, I played in that one. I hated it.
The Spider-Punk one's there. Most of Dan Slott's, like,
I played
costumes from his Amazing Spider-Man runs in it.
There's a few that I haven't bought yet because I don't have enough tokens or whatever.
The Spider-Man Homecoming.
I got that one, the one with the black stripes. I got the bands. I got that one. I played it in a little while.
There's damaged and undamaged classic suits.
Right. So, but, you know, as of right now, and based on what you were telling me earlier, it doesn't look like Black Symbiote Suit's body is there. Even if it's not the symbiote, even if it's just the black costume, it's not there. That's really sad because I was really looking forward to playing in that suit. And if they don't have that, that's going to upset me just a little bit.
Well, the one that, like, kind of weirds me out because it's been in almost every one is the Fantastic Four. Paper bag
over the head suit. Yeah.
But there is one where he's basically in boxers and a mask.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I guess that's their tribute to it.
Okay. So
and like the game, like how they call it, that it's a in-game intermissions.
Mm-hmm.
They're done in real time. So whatever suit you have.
Oh, the cinematic events and
will stuff like be that. Whatever suit that right. you're in at the time.
Right. They're not pre-cut, no. you know, cinematic clips.
Yeah.
That they generate based on what you have on.
Yeah.
So that's cool. I really enjoy this game. This game seems to me like
the weirdest part is I think they made Liev Schreiber Kingpin. Because he looks like Liev Schreiber in the face. Like,
I didn't notice that. I thought he sounded familiar. I was trying to place his voice, but...
Well, I don't know. I'm pretty sure it's not his voice. But in the face, he looks
exactly looks a little bit like him.
Which I guess that's appropriate, because seeing as Vincent D'Onofrio is playing Kingpin,
yeah.
I guess they wanted to have kind of a weird continuity with it.
Right.
There's a... There's a side mission. I don't know if you've done it or not, where like he, like another Spider-Man is there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the earlier voice actors from the cartoon.
Oh, really?
But I'm not real sure.
From which series? Which cartoon?
I think it's from the, might be the animated one. I'm not real sure.
It'd be cool. I wondered if they would bring back some voices like from the Amazing Spider-Man, Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, or even the 90s Amazing Spider-Man. That would be cool.
Those well, people. They did that in Shattered Dimensions.
Oh, did they?
Because, like, the 80s Spider-Man was Spider-Man Noir.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And, like, the Spider-Man 2099 was the animated series.
Right.
Spider-Man. Which is weird because they're not even related.
Right.
Miguel O'Hara. But that costume's in it. Both versions of the 2099 costume are in it. Like the blue and red one and the red and white one.
Right.
Those two are in there.
So that's cool. So I enjoy it. It seems to me like this game, and I don't know, maybe other Spider-Man games have been similar. It seems like to me this game is built on the skeleton of what was the Batman Arkham games. It seemed like so many of the gameplay features are the same. Everything from swinging around town and hearing radio things in your ear to...
Well, I think... like I said, Spider-Man games came out before that, so...
But were all those things in them?
Except for, like, the detective mode, that's something that they took from Arkham City.
Right. All the gadgets and the upgrades and the things like that.
Well, they've always had those.
Have they? Yeah. So maybe it's not as bad as I thought. It just felt, as I'm playing, I'm like, this is almost exactly like Batman, except the controls are looser. And that's my only other complaint. It's not a complaint, really. It's just I feel like I'm having a hard time controlling my character. I feel like he's all over the place, and I'm having a hard time ranging. If I'm swinging and I want to stop somewhere, I typically overshoot and have to turn around and go back.
It's always been a problem.
If I'm fighting and I'm jumping around and doing things, pretty soon I'm across the street and don't know how I got there.
Well, my biggest main problem is, and it's a small little glitch in the whole thing, is like if you're walking around and you hit like a certain button combination, he'll perch on the sidewalk or something, and like he'll crawl along like the part of the curb of the sidewalk.
Oh, I haven't seen him do
or that. Like, because like he can do that on the building or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like a sneak mode or whatever,
right?
But like if he does that like on a certain part of the sidewalk, he like stays on that part of the sidewalk, which is really weird.
I actually went through the ground and was underneath the city and couldn't get back up because there's a part of the docks where there's water. But when I landed from swinging on the web, I went through the ground. And I was underneath the park, and it was water. So they let the water, that is the ocean, come underneath the city.
Yeah.
And so I'm in the water, but I tried to swim over to the dock to go back up. And you can't get there. You can't get back up on the sidewalk. You can't. I'm like, if you were on top of the ground looking down, you would have saw grass. You wouldn't have saw me. But for me, from on the bottom, I could see people's feet walking across because it's the ground's transparent from mine.
You might have just hit a weird angle.
Do you know how when Skyrim, how you do the intentional glitch to get the free treasure and stuff? It's just like that.
Yeah.
And only there's no way back out. And so I continue. So I swam and swam and swam and swam. I don't know why I just didn't start over. You know, turn it off, turn it back on, pick up my save game. But I swam and swam and swam until finally I saw clouds. And I'm like, there's clouds under the water. And then I swam off the edge of the earth and went, ah! I mean, he didn't yell, but he went into free fall. You know how he dives? And it just dove forever, and then the game reset. I was like, that was cool. I found the edge of the earth. It's under Manhattan.
Yeah, there. I mean, it has a couple bugs in it, but I'm sure they'll work that out with a patch.
Right, probably.
I mean, there are always weird things in games where, like, if you hit, well, in modern games, where they're all technically all 3D built things, there's always a point in where, like, if you hit it at the wrong place, you'll just fall through the...
Are you enjoying the story?
So far.
So far, I'm enjoying it, too. Although
I don't like Aunt May.
No, I don't like her either.
And I don't like Mary Jane very well.
I don't like her either. Because Mary Jane, Peter's like 22, 23, 24 in this game.
Yeah, he's supposed to be like 22.
He's out of college. He's working full-time in the lab for Dr. Octopus, or Otto Octavius. And but Mary Jane looks like she's 15, 16 years old. I'm like,
oh, well, that's not my problem.
The animation's weird, but Mary Jane is like a spunky kid as opposed to the sexy redhead that we know her from the comic books. It's a completely different character shift for her.
Yeah, because she's the investigative reporter.
Right. So she's playing a Lois Lane character, but she looks like Sabrina the Teenage Witch or something. I mean, she just...
I don't have that problem. I just don't think she... looks like she should.
No, she doesn't look right.
And I don't think Aunt May does either.
No, Aunt May clearly.
Aunt May, like,
I mean, they tried to de-age her a little bit, so she's not like Marissa Tomei Aunt May, but she's not like feeble, about to fall and break her hip Aunt May.
I'd rather have her either of those versions instead of like, I'm only 10 years or 15, 20 years
older than you.
Yeah.
So she looks like she's 55, maybe.
Maybe 60.
Maybe. Yeah, that's a stretch. But she's got faded red hair instead of bright red hair. It's weird. I don't like the way she looks at all. And apparently she's got plenty of money because she passes Peter like $100 bills in this game.
I'm not got that far yet.
You didn't get to the part where he got kicked out of his apartment? Uh-uh. Oh, well, that's coming up. Sorry to spoil it for you.
Well, he got like a call from his landlord telling him, and
yeah, you got till Friday to pay rent. Yeah, so don't go home.
Rent.
Don't go home. You're evicted. Rent.
I don't know where his home is. I've never seen his home.
Yeah, it's on the map. It's a little house symbol. It's house. At one point, he says, "I'm really tired," and it kind of like won't let you do anything else, and you have to go home.
I've never been
there. You've not done that? Okay. Well,
I've only done like four missions so far. I've gotten to the point to where he's asked Martin about I'm about to fight Shocker.
Yeah. That's kind of a tough fight. Which
Shocker for the second
time. It's kind of a tough fight.
Because the first time all you're doing is basically chasing him through the city.
Right. Once you catch him, it's over. Yeah. And so the second fight's a little more involved.
Yeah, that's where I'm at right now.
I was watching the cutscene, and Martin Lee's there at the Feast Center, and I was like, uh-oh, Mr. Negative. Connor looks at me and goes, how do you know that? He's like, I'm ahead of you in the game, so I've seen it. He said, but you haven't got there yet, and I didn't say anything. How do you know? I'm like, Connor, they lifted this straight out of the comic book. I read it years ago. He was like, oh. So.
Yeah, that's another weird thing. It's like, the comic continuity and this don't mix up very well.
Yeah, they're a little jumbled, to say the least. Because they're taking bits and pieces and elements of
what they want. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, if Peter was working with somebody at a lab, I think it should be Model, you know, Model Laboratories.
Right.
Where Max Model, the big... blondish hair.
Well, see, I don't have a problem with if they want to see I feel like they've jumped the gun with this game. I feel like what they should have done is they should have took a Batman Arkham approach. If you're going to design the game like Batman Arkham, then do a Batman Arkham approach where you got like at least a three-game series plan. If you got a three-game series plan, then start with Peter a little younger. Have him dating Gwen Stacy instead of Mary Jane. And then you can develop to the place where we know Peter to today by the end of the third game, where he's in a relationship with Mary Jane. He's working for Horizon Labs.
Well, I think what they said was that they wanted you to, like, they wanted to get rid of all that stuff because they didn't want him, like, making all the blunders that he does in other games.
That's who Peter is. I mean, he always makes a blunder. That's the essence of who Spider-Man is. He messes
not how it should be,
though. He messes his life up. That's the core. I mean, he that's a quintessential thing.
That's why I can't read it anymore.
And because
I'm tired of
Peter. It's who Spider-Man's always been.
But that's not letting him grow as a character. You're just like,
then you get back into the conversation. And well, I didn't really mean to get here, but then you get back to the conversation about if you change a character too much from where it started, you get those fans who say, oh, we don't like this now. We want classic Spider-Man back, which is the same reason we had One More Day.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And so, it's the same reason that I was lobbying on Twitter for 3 or 4 or 5 years, however long, to get Superman back in his red underwear. Because at some point, you've moved too far away from home base, and people go, this is not who I recognize him, or this is not the character I grew up with. I don't like this. So at the end of the day, you have Spider-Man.
Theoretically, when they did the whole rebirth thing, they changed the character dramatically.
Right.
Whereas with Peter,
it's been an evolution.
I mean,
you know, by the time we got to Peter Parker, who was an Avenger before One More Day, then the changes in his life had been an evolution.
Yeah.
And over time.
And to like start with a brand new day, it's like, hey, guess what? You're not a high school teacher anymore. You're back living with Aunt May.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're kicked out of Aunt May's and you're living with a roommate again.
Right.
And then, like, for him,
you're not in a relationship with Mary Jane.
Yeah. Well, you're a ladies' man, you know.
You're single and on the prowl.
Yeah. And then to go to, like through Dan Slott's run, he gains a business, like a worldwide business.
Right, like Elon Musk level business. Yeah.
And he loses it.
Right.
Like this, like the Thanos finger snap. And now he's back again to being hapless loser Spider-Man. I'm just like, can we not do this anymore?
Well, I understand where you're coming from. I really do.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, that's what they wanted you to be like. They wanted you to be where, like, he is in his advanced years.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, not idiot teen.
But I wouldn't have had any problem if they had started there. Started with idiot teen Spider-Man.
Well, I know, but
dating Gwen Stacy.
But that's not what they wanted to go with this.
And then, but then you get a second game where he's evolved, and you get a third game where he's more the character that we are familiar with now, who's in his mid-20s. He's much of his own man at this point.
Well, they can go anyway with this. I mean,
Peter Parker is the.
They could do Spider-Man Origins.
The bad things that happen to Peter are sometimes his fault. Sometimes they're not. Very often are not his fault, right? Because he just had his graduate degree stripped away from him in the comic books because they figured out that Dr. Octopus was masquerading as him as he went through graduate school.
Well, he had. What do they call it when they copies another buddy's homework?
Oh, plagiarism.
Yeah, he plagiarized something that Octavius did when he was in college.
Well, that's how they think they caught him.
Yeah.
That's not what actually happened.
Well, yeah.
Because Otto actually wrote it because he was in his body.
But that's what I'm saying. The ideas were the same, and that's how they got him.
Right. So a lot of these things that happened to Peter, or Peter just, you know, he had a date with Mary Jane or whoever, but he's saving the world, and he can't make the date. So now Peter, you're a horrible person. You don't care about me. Well, yeah, I do, but I can't tell you why I was late.
He was trapped under a fat guy, and he missed the wedding.
Yeah.
Like, I remember that, or No, what was I going to say? Like,
no, the quintessential Spider-Man is Peter Parker has the world's worst luck. You know, despite all this power and responsibility and all that crap, you push that aside for a minute, every bad thing that can possibly happen to a person happens to Peter Parker.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, even like to where he lost his business. I mean, he lost his business totally.
Mm-hmm.
And I said that was the most unbelievable thing in the world, because in this world, when CEOs get booted out of their company,
they have a little something called a golden parachute.
Yeah.
They get stock options.
And I'm like,
retirement bonuses.
And I'm like, you don't think Octavius would have thought about that? I mean, he's a frigging criminal mastermind.
Yes, he would have set something up for himself.
But no, Peter loses the whole entire company in the span of like a day.
Well, that's the thing. Nothing goes well for Peter for very long. It eventually will come crashing down.
But what I'm saying is, I wouldn't have minded that. But then you go back to like, oh, well, now you got to live with Mockingbird, who you're having a semi-relationship with, you know.
Right. I liked it when he was hooked up with that Silk character, because they were crazy about each other.
Well, the pheromones or whatever.
Yeah. It's like, hey, how are you? Fine, how are you? Want to have sex? Yes!
But, yes. Which is weird.
All right, so we're supposed to be talking about the game.
Yeah.
The game, for the most part, is good. It looks amazing. Plays pretty well. I feel like the controls are a little loose. But for the most part, it's a lot of fun. I think you'll enjoy it if you play it. So, it may be, but if you're not a super huge Spider-Man fan, maybe you wait a little while, it comes down in price.
Yeah,
because I think maybe at a $30 price tag, this game maybe would be a better purchase than at $50 or $60.
Because, like, this week you got Tomb Raider coming out, and a couple weeks you got Red Dead 2 coming out.
Right. A lot of stuff happening.
I was just like, man, I should have bought Tomb Raider or Red Dead instead of this.
So, I would like to have one of those big red PlayStations, though, with the Spider Emblem. Those things are pretty.
Well, the thing is, though, I heard someone like say, oh, yeah, I turned mine on and like it worked for like 5 minutes and broke. And I'm like, I don't know how that works.
Yeah. PlayStation doesn't tend to have that kind of problem.
But that's,
and if it does, it's a one off fluke.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like they've been doing this for like 10 years with this one system.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. They went to the Pro.
Right.
But I've not heard anything bad about the Pros. But like, you must have had just one janky.
Yeah, just system. one bad circuit
they,
or something.
They dropped it in the plant or whatever, or your mailman sucks, or they.
Or could have just been a weak circuit or something.
It's funny. I went to Target to get it because Target said like if you bought the game, you'd get a pin, which I didn't get a pin or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like I went to get it, and like my friend works there, Harold. I've talked about him before. He's like, oh, you want one of these? I was like, oh, you're going to give me this? He's talking about the PS4 Pro.
Right.
With the Spider-Man symbol. I was like, well, sure. If you want to give it to me, I can walk right out with it. Which was kind of funny.
Sweet.
I was like, yeah, I'm here for the game.
Yeah, here for the game.
I would kill for the system.
Yeah, that system is pretty. I mean, it really is.
Either one I would like.
All right, so
doesn't like the regular PlayStation come with like the terabyte?
Oh,
of I don't hard know. Space, because that would be nice too.
Yes, lots and lots of memory.
I mean, the Pro would be nice, but just having the terabyte of hard space would be nice too.
Right.
I don't know why I've become this way.
It shows like I need all the hard drive space. I worry that what you heard was give me a lot of hard drive space. But what I actually said was give me all the hard drive space you have.
But, like, I know you can, like, hook up, like, a backup to, like, your PlayStation.
Yeah, you can hook up an external drive.
But I just don't do that.
Yeah, so it seems cumbersome.
Yeah, I'd just rather it be there.
Well, I mean, you can easily delete and reinstall stuff, so it's not a big deal. All right, briefly, Netflix brought out Iron Fist. I didn't even watch Jessica Jones this year.
I think this year's Jessica Jones was better than the first year.
I need to watch it.
But it was not great.
I missed it, and I was just like, well, I'm going to get around to that. And I never did.
Luke Cage
was pretty good. It wasn't
as good as the first season, I don't think.
No, it wasn't as good as the first one, and I didn't like the way it ended, and I didn't like the way he left things with Rosario Dawson's character.
Well, she just left.
Yeah, and she's like not coming back because apparently she wants to spend more time with her family or something. So I'm like, well, that sucks. But she's not
married, so I don't know.
I don't know what that's supposed to mean. So anyway, so now Iron Fist is out, and the thing about Iron Fist in the first season was it was insanely boring. It was just drug and drug.
I think like my main biggest problem with it is like they had no clue how to shoot like the action scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Because they'd shoot it like, here, you two are fighting. Like that, side camera. Like
right.
It never moved. It was just them going like that. And like 2 seconds, it was over.
I can't
tell. I was like, man, you need to like move the camera away from them. So it's like the camera needs to be in a place like to where it's not just them fighting each other. It needs to move around.
Right.
And so this fights just became just like, yep, they're punching each other.
So
like 10 seconds.
Danny Rand continues to be in the second season the most boring character ever. I really have not got any interest in him as a person or what he's going through or what he's about. If they would deal with Kun Lun, if they would deal with those mystical kung fu parts of his story and leave all the, we got to stop the triad gang war in New York City. Nobody, I don't care about that. We got Daredevil for that kind of stuff. We got, you know, just gang crime and stuff like that. We got Daredevil. We got Luke Cage that handle stuff like that. You're freaking Iron Fist. You're the only character in the Marvel Netflix universe that actually has like a really cool superpower. I mean, the rest of them are just kind of tough and strong, and Daredevil's got some sensory things, but you've got the big glowing hand, man, and you got all the mystical kung fu stuff. You fought a dragon. You have done amazing things, or so we've been told. We've not seen any of it.
Well, we did see the dragon.
And so... Corps
and Defenders, but...
At this point, I'm just like, show us something. He's just walking around moping because he can't stop this gang war. His wife's like, I don't really want to do this, Danny. Or it's not his wife, his girlfriend, Colleen. And Ward and his sister, Joy, is still like they hate each other. And you don't care because you wish they'd both go away and die. I mean,
yeah, I thought those two were like the worst part of like the.
Oh, they're still there.
Yeah.
And I'm
the worst parts.
I'm just like, I'm almost halfway through because I think it's just 10 episodes instead of 13. And I'm like, I'm almost halfway through it. And I'm just like, you know, finally, in like the fourth or fifth episode, we finally got Davos getting his steel serpent powers. Finally. And I was like, okay, this maybe is about to get good. But it took half the season to get to this place. You know, Netflix, you guys have not figured out what makes the Iron Fist a cool character.
Well, I thought like they handled him very well in that one or two episodes he was in Luke Cage.
He was interesting. He was funny.
So is he not that way?
No, he's not that way now. He's all mopey and depressed again.
So the Iron Fist season 2 must take place before that.
Well, they haven't addressed it. Well, the only thing they've talked about in reference to other ones is the fact that when Matt, they think, died at the end of the Defenders, that he asked Danny to protect this city. And so Danny's going to do it because he's honor bound to do it.
That would only be cool if he had to wear the Daredevil costume.
That would be funny.
Because we know how much like Iron Fist has done that over the years
with
Peter, with Daredevil, with anybody else.
Yeah, he will put on somebody else's costume right now. You know, I think they've got Luke Cage figured out. Luke Cage is a bad mofo from Harlem, and he's a brother, and he brings all that to the table, and he's strong and he's powerful, and they have figured out what makes him click. You know, with Daredevil, it's a crime drama.
Yeah.
And the Kingpin is amazing. They figured out what made him click. Punisher, they have figured out what makes him click. I don't think with Jessica Jones or with Danny Rand, they have any idea what makes these characters click or what makes them interesting. And they need to do something with them or let them go.
I think the Jessica Jones one is bad because it's just like, I don't know, it's like, they not really like realizing like she's really powerful.
mm-hmm.
to the point that she doesn't want to use her powers. But like, but then again, it's like she won't use them for like most of season two. So it's like, okay, you got to understand there's got to be a point to where she
embraces
F's some stuff up, you know?
Yeah.
But like, I think that's their main problem with Jessica. It's like, she's strong, like use it.
Yeah. Well, do they not have the budget for it? Maybe that's what it is.
I wouldn't think so.
I mean,
to do like 10, 12 episodes is a monumental task anyway. So, I mean, it's not like, I mean, put something where she's lifting something huge, you know, or fighting someone that, well, they kind of did that in two. Not to go into it because you haven't seen it.
Right.
They kind of gave her someone that was equal up to her power.
Right.
It wasn't her moping around. Oh, I was being controlled by the purple man who wasn't really scary. And
not to give any spoilers away, but so far the action in this first few episodes of Iron Fist has amounted to Danny's flashbacks of his fight with Davos before he goes to fight the dragon. And you'll flashback for like 20 or 30 seconds of the fight, and then he goes and does something. And then later in the episode, he'll flashback for another 20 or 30 seconds.
Well, you'll probably get a whole episode where he's in Kunlun then.
We haven't yet.
Like right before him and Danny fight for the last time or something like that. Yeah. That's probably what will happen.
So the interesting, well, I don't want to tell you about it because you've not seen it. So you watch it, and we may go over it again. Well,
I know one of the bad guys in it. Other than,
well, are we talking about the female character?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she, without giving anything away, is really weird, but I haven't read anything about her in the comics. She's not a character that
she's a split personality.
Well, she's got that going on.
Yeah.
But she's, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know. I never
calls herself Rose.
I never read anything in any storylines with her in it, in the comics. And so I don't know what I think about her. Or whether or not this is a good portrayal of her.
I'm gonna start watching it because I like this week because I've been on an anime dump for like the last week and a half.
Did you ever get Inuyasha watched and all that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Well, the thing is, they didn't take them off.
Oh, they didn't?
They took them off for like a day.
Now they're back.
Well, which is kind of funny because, like, okay, I was trying to watch Inuyasha, Bleach, and Naruto on Netflix because they were supposed to take them off before the first.
Any recommendations?
And I was like, oh, well, the cool thing is they all only got like two or three seasons each, right? Right.
So I should be able to power.
Like Inuyasha like got two seasons. Bleach has three. Naruto has three.
Right.
Well, the thing is, most anime, they have like 26 episodes per season.
Mm-hmm.
So you run into that problem.
It was several episodes.
And I started like about a week and a half before September 1st.
Mm-hmm.
So I powered through Inuyasha, which sucks because like I want to finish that. And then like I go through Bleach, and Bleach is like 26 episodes per season. So it's like two seasons of that. And I'm like, well, that was pretty good. There's another anime called Yu Yu Hakusho.
I don't know anything.
Which they've got a very similar like storyline going on. I think that's the main problem with that one.
Right.
And then there's Naruto.
Naruto.
Now, if you don't know it or not, but Naruto has 52 episodes per season.
Per season.
Per season.
Dang. It's kind of like they've got He-Man on Netflix. And if you go back and the season one's like 54 episodes. I'm like,
but they only have season one.
Oh, they only? Okay. Yeah.
And that's the problem I ran into with Naruto and Inuyasha and Bleach. Because I know Inuyasha has 8 seasons. Bleach has about 4 or 5 seasons.
If you upgrade to a DVD account with Netflix, you can get the rest of them.
There's some people that have DVD accounts with Netflix.
I heard as much.
But Naruto has 4 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all 52 episodes per season.
All 52 episodes. I think there's about as many Dragon Ball episodes.
But there are 134 episodes of Naruto. They didn't even have the full season 3 of Naruto.
See, that would bother me. Like, if I knew that, I just wouldn't start.
But then again, I didn't know where it would end. So I mm-hmm. thought it'd be easy, and I didn't think that they would have 52 episodes per season.
So you didn't think they were going to shortchange you, and you didn't think the seasons would be that long.
But the thing is, it's like, Naruto has went through like three different series now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a new show now called Boruto. No.
It's about this Jersey guy that practices martial arts. Hey, Boruto.
No, it's his son.
Uh-huh.
And he's married. Like all the ninjas from Naruto are all married.
Mm-hmm. They come over and they have wine and dinner and they
but it's about
talk their about kids. Their jobs.
It's about their kids, though.
Talk the, about their kids and where they the go thing. To school. That's,
it's about like their that. Kids. But it leaves, they're still in it, though.
Complain which, about soccer practice.
Which is weird, because if you think about it, it's almost like Digimon.
Uh-huh.
But like if they had Digimon Season 5 where like the third series of Digimon where like all the original Digimon kids had kids and those kids had their original Digimon. It's like that like thing. But there was like six seasons of like the middle one called Shippuden. And there were like three movies. So I'm like, geez, if I want to watch this thing, I'm going to have to like what? And like, you can't like buy them like DVDs or digitally because they're like $20 a season.
Wow.
So okay. it'd almost be like $100 to buy the rest of the original Naruto season. Not counting the new series, the Shippuden series, which was in the middle of that. The three movies that were between that and the new show. You think that's bad? One Piece? Remember mm-hmm. that one about right. pirates?
Well, I know of it. I never watched any of it.
That's been running for over 20 years. It has over 800 episodes.
Oh, my God!
It's like, remember the show they used to show, like, way back when on a Cartoon Network? It was called Case Closed,
mm-hmm.
about the detective who turned into a little kid.
Right.
That's been going on for 26 years.
Oh, my God.
In Japan.
They're dedicated over there, aren't they?
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, if you're a fan of this stuff, man, you're just like screwed.
Yeah, I think there was like a one Vampire Hunter D movie. I'm like, what happened?
There were two.
Oh, was there two? Okay.
There was Bloodlust, and which takes place like years before the.
See, thing. My kids are talking to me about all the anime they've seen. I'm like, you guys don't even know the original anime that we used to rent at the video store, you know, or the comic book store that had anime, because you couldn't get anime at the video store,
yeah.
at the Blockbuster or someplace. We had to go to the comic book store and rent DVD, not DVD, VHS or, anime.
Or you had to go to like Lexington to Hollywood Video and buy.
I remember buying
dubs.
I remember buying the entire
dubs of
the entire Street Fighter 2 V series on video cassette. It was like 26 volumes. Had like three episodes a piece on it.
And now you can buy the whole series for like $26
I'm on like, DVD. I spent a small fortune on that. I don't even know what happened to those. I don't know if we sold them, gave them away. What happened to those things? And I'm like, you know what? Don't invest your money in physical media, whether they're DVDs, VHSs, cassettes, CDs, anything like that, because they will evaporate. You know, invest your money in digital. Assuming that the company you buy from is still around in 20 years, your stuff will be too.
Well, assuming that the world is the way it is, it'll still be around. But
well, I have to imagine as things if we upgrade to a superior format, other than I'm hoping they'll go with it, and so you will upgrade with it, and so.
If no, I'm saying if the world doesn't like,
well, yeah, if we
evolve
don't
have, into like,
oh, like
warlocks and Eloys, you know.
So if we don't, you know, Mad Max future,
yeah,
okay. Well, if we get to that place, it doesn't matter anyway. We're at that point. We got shotguns and canned food, and
I think we're about a year from that now.
we're awfully close. All right, we've run way over on our closing here, so let's close the show out real quick. Keep in mind, we won't have any alternate reality for probably 2 weeks after this. So check back with us in week three, and we'll hopefully have a new episode for you. You follow me on Twitter and Facebook, twitter.com/JohnLoveless for me, XOnslaught for Charlie and the show, AR_podcast. We're on the Facebook. You look for us there. See, we're easy to find. Our website, well, there's no W's. You can use it if you want to, but arnetcast.podomatic.com, where you can find the show. Send us email. We would love to hear from you. aldenorealitypodcast@gmail.com. And go over to iTunes if you would. If you use iTunes and if you listen to us via iTunes, head over to iTunes and write a review for us. Say nice things about us. We appreciate it when you do that. And Alden and Rowdy is a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network. Check out the network over at Comics with an S, Podcast with an S, double plural, comicspodcasts.com. Anything to add to that, Charlie?
No.
All right, we're long tonight. We apologize, but we had a lot to talk about. And hopefully that'll hold you until we get back. In the meantime, until next time, my name's John.
I'm Charlie.
And we are out. You guys have a good couple of weeks. Talk to you later. I'm kind of over getting told to throw my hands up in the air. So there. I'm kind of older than I was when I rebelled without a care. So there. And we're clear on that. Show close in 3, 2.
What are you doing?
Well, you've been microwaving for a long time. What are you eating? Oh, how many of them? All of the millions of pizza.
He's not eating the tacos?
No, he hates Mexican food.
How do you hate Mexican food?
He just, that's how he feels about it. I've been like that since I was leaving. Everybody's entitled to like what they like. I hate onions. All right.
Inveday onions?
Yes, all onions. Except Dairy Queen onion rings, oddly enough. Weird.
Have you ever had White Castle onion rings?
Nope, but I'm not interested in trying them.
How you know they're not better than the Dairy Queen?
I don't see how they could be.
They're pretty good.
All I'm saying is I like a really thin, crispy onion ring. It's mostly batter. If it's a big thick onion in it, I hate that. Anyway, all right. Show close in 3. Show close in 3, 2, 1. All in a reality, the comic book podcast. All right, green
onions?
No, no onions.
No green onions?
No, no onions.
Like, you know, you go out in your yard and picking up and.
Yeah, I know what green onions are. I don't eat green onions.
Okay.
Show close in 3, 2.
It's a little weird.
It's not weird. I don't like onions.
What I'm saying is Vidalia onions are kind of sweet.
So. I don't care. It's the texture. It's the flavor. It's the everything. I hate them. It wouldn't hurt my feelings if another onion was never grown on the planet Earth.
Well, you know, that.
And everybody else could just cry and go on about how much they miss onions, and I'll laugh, laugh. Connor, what are you doing?
Chair.
You know, we are trying to do a show here, son. Yeah, y'all keep talking about onions, so.
More gopher effort?
All right, show close in 3, 2, 1.
I'm a Dapper Dan man.
See?
Son, I'll have you kindly to watch your voice.
Well, isn't this place just a geographical oddity? 2 weeks from everywhere. All right. Show close in 3, 2, 1.